Thank you, Freddie and Tommy, for the good prayer. We appreciate so very much the presence of everybody that's here tonight. What a joy it's been to start off last Sunday, and then Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday now, coming to the conclusion of a successful vacation Bible school. Didn't these brethren do so well in the preaching and teaching of the Word of the Lord? I commend them all. I love them. I've worked with them. We used to sit over there together in my office, so many of them, and study together. And it's been a joy to see them get up here and do such a tremendous job in the presentation of the Word of God. I never forget how wonderfully good it is to work with brethren who are elders. Elders devoted to the Lord, that love the Lord, that love you. And we have three of the greatest elders, and we're so thankful for all three of them. And I thank them for adding me to the list this week for this vacation Bible school. But brethren, I love you so much. Why did you ask me to be on the last night? The last night of our vacation Bible school, generally, that's the lowest crowd. And I've been preaching over 50 years, and Joe Corley and his good wife, Romaine, they're here tonight, and he's been preaching 70 years. But anyway, I've never preached on this particular subject. And I asked some of our young preachers, have they? But anyway, that meant I had to really dig. And I hope I was able to find the truth of God on this wonderful subject this evening. And I'm talking about a life that is blessed. It's the very best life. When we go to the Scriptures, we find in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We turn over into 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does generosity mean? Well, it's the quality of being kind and generous. It's being a giver, a sharer, one that sacrifices. Other synonyms: liberality, benevolence, charity, big-heartedness, unselfishness, self-sacrifice. And one thing you know and I know, that God makes it very, very clear. He sure does love a person who is a cheerful giver. Well, if God loves a cheerful giver, then I want to do everything I possibly can to know everything He has to say to me concerning giving and doing those things that God wants us to do. A good example is found in 2 Corinthians 8. Read with me, if you will. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on all on the churches of Macedonia, how then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. What were they willing of themselves to do? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but unto us by the will of God. The very first thing that I know about this subject tonight, you got to give God yourself first. Look what the Bible says about these people. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord. We're not going to be able to be generous. We're not going to be the giver that God wants us to be if we're not, first of all, giving ourselves to the Lord. And then He said unto us, by the will of God. There's just scripture after scripture, example after example. Look at it. What does God require us first to do? Give ourselves to the Lord. Let me give you a few. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, What did he say? He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You tell my 10-year-old grandson that. Son, it's more blessed for you to give than you to receive. Because what he wants is to receive. Most of us do, though, don't we? We want, you have Christmas, you have all the presents and everything, and you're looking at what you're going to get. I try to tell the family it's not the amount, but somehow that didn't get in. It's just the thought that you have. We have all these gifts around the tree at birthday. Why? They're having so many things coming in for birthdays anymore. Children will, and all of us do. Just abundance of things. What did they give me? What did I get? But let's think about it from the other standpoint. Had you rather give a gift than to receive one? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's one thing you got to learn to be a generous Christian. To be one who has generosity in your life. The best thing in this whole thing is you just give and give and give. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 6. In Luke 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, with all this shall be measured to you again. Again, Proverbs 19, verse 17, and boy, I like this one. He that hath pity upon the poor does what? Lendeth to the Lord. You can't do better than that. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? What a fantastic plan. God said when you give to the poor, those that can't give it back to you, what are you doing? You're lending to the Lord. What's the Lord going to do? Give it back. When I turn to Matthew 6, no wonder Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, are you listening? For where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. Is it at Compass Bank? Is it over at Regions Bank? Is it in any of the other banks? That's where we have our bank accounts. We use that to do what? To facilitate the money that God has so blessed us with. And yes, but where is the treasure of our hearts really focused upon? The Bible tells us you ought to have it in heaven. Because when you give it to God, it's going to be there. And look what Paul says about riches. In 1 Timothy 6, he says, charge them that are rich in this world. And by the way, Troy, I'm expecting you to get every single one of these verses too. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Don't put your trust in things. Put your trust in God. 1 John 3, verse 17, surely not a one of us would be guilty of this. Whoso hath this world's goods, and he seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say you love God when you won't even help your own brother? You have it, you can help, but you won't do it. Question, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. How are you and I sowing? Do we really give? 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 Can it be said that we're generous people? That we're not selfish? We're willing to share? Oh, I hope so. Because, generosity, this wonderful subject that God tells us so much about gives us a wonderful example that we're studying tonight. It's about a woman who's called a widow. A widow that is spoken so much about. Widows are talked about so much in the Bible. It's so wonderful to read it and think about it. Here was a poor widow. And listen, in the reading from Luke chapter 20, we've been studying the whole book of Luke this week. In Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 45, then the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, what did he say? Beware of the scribes. Jesus is pretty direct when he says something. He said, you beware of the scribes which desire to walk in what? Long robes. Who love greetings in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast. But here is something that really stings you. Look what he says. Which devour widows' houses. These scribes are charged with doing what? Devouring widows' houses. And for a show, make long prayers. For a what? For a show. The same shall receive greater damnation. And then jumps right into something that's so amazing. And he looked up. And he saw. Stop. What did Jesus see? He saw something. What did he see? Listen. He saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He's observing them putting in their coins in the baskets or in the trumpets, as it was called, and putting in there their gifts. But he also saw there was a poor widow. And the Bible says a certain poor widow, he did not name her, casting in thither two mites or two copper coins. Oh, who is she? She's a widow. What is she doing? She's casting two small coins. And now then, Jesus said, I have something to tell you. What is it, Lord? Here's what he says. Jesus called their attention, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. What? Here are rich people giving all kinds of gifts. But Jesus said, here's a widow, poor widow. She's cast in two mites. And she's given more than all. She gave the most. For all of these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or poverty hath cast in all the living that she has. Would you give all your living for the poor? Would I? A widow. A widow that doesn't have very much. Just too much. But realizes her responsibility and her love for God. And she just gives God everything she's got. Wow. The Lord Jesus was there in the temple when he saw this. Look at the rich man. And I'm wondering, well, maybe they're... Some of them standing over just watching her and maybe sneering at the fact that, look, she's only given so little. But look what we have just given. The widow, the two coins. Here she is. And maybe they're staring at her like that. Just two. Looking. But there is one who is looking and observing everyone. And that is our Lord. What a lesson. But first of all, why was this woman in the temple? I didn't think women were supposed to be in the temple of the Lord. Secondly, why would this woman possess a true heart of faith, devotion, and sacrifice? How could it be that there is an individual that is willing to give it all? Question three, is each individual responsible to give to God? Number four, what does it mean to truly be God-dependent? Where you're completely dependent upon God for your livelihood because she gave all that she had. What is the connection between liberal giving and a heart devoted to God? The widow who gave all. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5. Our focus then is discipleship requires a heart devoted to the Lord. Such a heart changes how we see the things of this world. Why? This world is not our home. Material things, wealth, what are they? Oh, Christianity is a way of life. And I want us to listen and examine the outward manifestation of a devoted heart. Money, material things. And I found something as I was studying for this lesson that I had not thought about before. And I found an illustration that I had to bring it to you. You may not like it. This guy who is wealthy. And he told his wife, I want to put my money in a bag. And I want you to hang it up in the rafters in the attic, on the rafters in the attic. And he said, when my spirit is caught up to heaven, I'll grab the sack on my way up. Well, he eventually died. And the woman raced to the attic only to find the money still there. She said, I knew I should have put the sack in the basement. Thought that was pretty interesting. But it tells you something. So many people love money. I've had people tell me that a man who has a Cadillac, the loves that Cadillac, wants to be buried with his Cadillac in his grave. Huh? Friend, let me suggest to you out of the 38 parables that Jesus told, 16 deal with money in some form or other. If you add the times that heaven and hell are mentioned, it comes to fewer times than money is mentioned. The New Testament says five times as much about money than it does about prayer. There are 500 or so verses on prayer and faith combined, but there are 2,000 verses or more dealing with money and possessions. Look in the book of Luke. Number one, Luke 19. The cleansing of the temple. He went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that brought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you've made it the den of thieves. Oh, how sad. The Roman taxes, Luke 20, 20 through 26. And Jesus makes it a very, when they ask him about the giving, he said, show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at the answer and held their peace. You see, the authorities of the temple were allowing something that God was not pleased with. This was a violation, very big one, in the temple, the purpose of it. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted by mine own. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So you see, when you look at the temple treasury, I found out, yeah, there was a place for women. It's called the court of the women. The temple contained three courts. The easternmost part was the court of the women. It contained the temple where the treasury, where people donated their money. Three gates led into this court, one on the north and one on the south, third on the east. The third gate probably was the beautiful gate that's mentioned in Acts chapter 3. Then the fourth gate, which was much larger and ornate, led from the court of the women west into the court of Israel. Women could proceed no further, which was elevated 15 steps higher than the court of women. That's why the poor woman who was the widow was there. She was in her rightful place. The court of the women, it said, was the outer foremost court of the temple in Jerusalem, into which women were permitted, therefore, to enter. The court of the women were there where the temple treasury was located, and there were 13, real interesting, trumpet-shaped contribution chests designated for various purposes, and the giver would place monies into the appropriate chest. The size and the shape of these chests allowed one to know by sound how much money was cast therein. These 13 contribution chests, and they were made in the form of a trumpet. And this place where the women were about 200 feet square between bounding lines. Each court on the outside was 60 feet square. The colonnade ran around the court, and within it, against the wall, the 13 chests or trumpets for charitable contributions were placed. Each one of them is marked very carefully so that whatever is placed therein is given for the right reason, for the right purpose. You know, the Jews didn't like to pay taxes. Who does? This eventually, of course, led to the Jewish rebellion and the destruction of Jerusalem by 70 A.D. Something about widows. Proper regard for widows. I don't know how many widows we have at O'Neill. Tommy and I were trying to count that up, weren't we, Tommy and I, some time ago. We have a lot. I mean a lot who's lost their husbands who are called widows. A woman without a husband or without a son, someone that can provide for, God says a whole lot about your care for that person. Anna, 84 years old, departed not from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Luke 2, 36 through 38. There's the widow of Zarephath. Many of the widows were in Israel of Elijah's day. But, look what God says. None of them was Elijah sent to except to the Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. Remember Luke 7, 11 through 15? The widow's son who had died. She was from Nain. She was a widow. And remember, Jesus raised up that boy. And the woman in Luke chapter 18, who was the persistent individual that came for judgment. Ah, the poor widow of our story tonight. Just a woman who had so little, but she gave it all to the Lord. Now there were two or three, and one of the questions the young people would ask was about the Sadducees, and Jesus has something to say about them. In this context, the Sadducees were a sect of the Jews that denied that there would be a resurrection of the dead. They were also more focused on good political standing. They wanted what? Recognition. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Twice, Matthew 22, 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, to ask him. Acts 23, verse 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. But what about these scribes? Yes? Jesus gave a solemn warning about the scribes who were really glory-seeking hypocrites. Why? You know why? Because they abused widows. They took what the widow had no mercy upon her. God warns, and there were so many scriptures I couldn't get them all. It wouldn't be able to use them all, but here's just a few. Exodus 22:22, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Listen again, Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Proverbs 15, 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Jesus watched these people as they each one gave. And the application was, friend, if you're given to be seen of men, then you'll have no glory from God. In giving, we need to remember to be an individual that is a giver. That our God's going to take care of us. I like that verse, Philippians 4, 19. I use it a lot. Had a lady today that I talked to. She said, I have 3 heart attacks and she's about 40-something years of age. I've had 3 heart attacks. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But she said, I'm trusting in the Lord. Listen to a passage in Philippians 4. Make it your passage. When Paul is writing, he said, but my God. Huh? The God you serve? The God you worship? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Give. Be a generous individual. I know I've bought a whole lot in my life. Stored up so much. And I've told somebody not too long ago, all of us old people need to have a class or something. And tell the young people. You know, you spend a lifetime trying to get things. And then, soon you know, you're going to have to leave it all. And the last few years of your life, spend trying to get rid of it. Isn't that ironic? When we could share more. This poor widow didn't have anything hardly. But she gave it all to God. How about you and how about me? Let's look at things differently. We're only here for a little while. Do you know the Bible tells us don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. Because you see, when your treasure is there, and you've given to people along the way. Just think of what a reward there is for all of you. I have to tell you this quickly. I can never believe about half of my sermon I'm not going to get to, so you'll hear it later, okay? Anyway, my son's grandson is 10 years old, and just like you, you get by and drive by. And he told me one time, he said, there was a man out there who had a little signed-up help. And he said, people, why'd you stop and help that man? Why'd you give that man at least a dollar? He called him a dude. Why'd you give that dude a dollar? Well, I told him this. I said, I've had some bad experiences, son. Had a lady over here at the hospital telling me she needed $5 to get gas to get to Huntsville. I didn't do like Al did, take people here and put them in the hotel or whatever. But I'll tell you what, I gave her $5, and by the time Brother Nixon, he's awake now, but anyway, whenever, by the time I got up to the front to go in, I turned around and she was begging somebody else for another $5. I turned right around and I went right toward her. And when she saw me coming, she ran like everything to get away. Yeah, I tell you, it's a problem sometimes. But every time you can, when it's a good, worthy deed, don't forget to help. And I'll be quiet. I guess you do. Okay, thank you, sir.
Daniel, He looks at the heart. Very good. What about our verse from our one verse here that we haven't got to yet? Blessed are the poor in, everybody say it.
Spirit.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very good. God made me. God made the big brown sun. God made the dog song tree. God made the birds that fly. God made me. God made the stars and sky. God made the deep blue sea. God made the clouds that bloom. And God made me. Very good. And we want to have our adults help us out. Y'all ready? Adults, you ready? Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye, Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye, Lord.
Praise ye, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye, the Lord. Very good, very good. And our challenge question. Why did Jesus tell the people to beware of the scribes? They were so rich. What did they want to do, Noah? They were takers and they were not givers. Very good. I'm pleased with that. Who did Jesus first see? Who did he see giving the money? Aiden, you remember? Yes, sir. He saw the rich man. He saw the rich folks giving first. And I'm like, well, what did he see? How much money did this poor widow that she came out? How much did she give? Yes, sir. All she had. How much was that? Levi?
Two mites.
Very good. Now in Jesus' eyes, he saw the rich people giving a lot of money, but he saw the poor widow. She saw her giving two mites. Who gave the most in Jesus' eyes?
The widow.
The widow. Why did he say that? And she gave all she had. Very good. Now, we've had a great VBS, and I thank you for doing that. But we don't want to stop telling people about Jesus. Let's sing this one real quick. Roll the gospel chair. You ready?
Roll the gospel chair. Come on. Roll the gospel.
Tiptoe, tiptoe, wing, high, high. Be as quiet as a little mouse.
some happy people at O'Neill. Real happy people. I know five that are extremely happy. Five who were baptized this week. You can't find any prayer that happens to know that your sins have been forgiven and to know that you're a child of the King. You're a Christian. These people all did the same thing. They believed in Jesus, repented of sin, confessed the Lord, and they were baptized because in the very beginning they heard what God wanted them to do. And then we have about four or five who made confession. These people are happy. Happy because they know their sins have been forgiven. Happy because they're serving God now faithfully. There are some people in our congregation that are extremely sad tonight. Vivian Gover had 72 years. I've got a lot to tell you about her Sunday. She obeyed the gospel. She realized what it was like to walk with God. And tonight, we're singing a song that I have Freddie selected and asked him to lead us in. A song I love to sing. Probably Brother Joe Cordes had that song in many gospel meetings. If you've been here. Oh, why not tonight? If tonight you're not a Christian, why won't you tonight? Here is water. What did hinder you? Be baptized. If you're an erring child of God, you need us to pray with you for you. But why not tonight? Why not now? Well, together we stand.